thank you, choir. And if you can say that song is true, then you can sing number 267 with us. 267, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Everybody, take a hymnal and let's stand and sing together. 267. All right, sing out now. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in lust redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His works from peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing man of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able.
Now look at the words, that last verse. I know not when my Lord may come. Let's sing that one together.
I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with Him or meet Him in the air. But I know that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the service. And then the choir will sing another number. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, we love You, and it's a great joy to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank You for this morning's service. God, we pray You'll give us fresh bread from heaven tonight. So glad to have our visitor with us tonight, and we'll mention him in a moment. But God bless the choir, the special music, and then the preaching of Thy Word as we study in the book of Romans. We love You. Thank You for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on.
that's an encouragement to you. No need to doubt it now. Well, we're going to give the choir a chance to come down. We've got a visitor over here. We've got Brian over here who's been with us a couple times now, so he's really not a visitor. But let's stand. We'll give you a chance to have a little time of fellowship while the choir comes down.
All right. Thank you so much, and thank you for being back in the service tonight. And we'll get into Romans 15 in just a little while, but let me just mention a couple of things quickly. Good to have Mr. Andrews here with us, Tony Andrews. He lives over here in Green Springs. He wanted to come visit with us tonight, and we're glad to have him here with us. And good to have Brother Baker back with us as well. And we're glad you're in the service tonight. Continue to pray for Dot England, Sonny and Judy Branham, Brother Steve Morris, of course, having surgery coming up. Brother Steve's grandchild's at their home. They came down to stay, but one of them's sick, so Gail's got them at home tonight. Let's see here. Let me make sure I get everybody. Brother John Tyndall's in Missouri, so remember him in prayer. Brother John's still in Chicago, but should be back sometime this week. And Dante's back, so had a good time with all of his siblings and grands and nephews and nieces and cousins. And only ate one plate, huh? Must not be feeling good today. They had a big barbecue today. I said, "Do you eat a bunch?" He said, "One plate." I said, "Well, you must not be feeling well. I don't know." Yes, sir. None? So anyway, we're glad to have him back. But anyway, just remember those folks in prayer, if you would. Sonny, of course, is having his surgery coming up on Wednesday. And to replace or do some repair work to his neck. Hopefully that will alleviate the problem he's been having with all that pain. But I told you this morning, Judy hurt herself out in the yard yesterday, so they're both kind of laid up today. So please remember them in prayer if you would. Okay, Brian?
Don't forget this week, the service Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Be here in your place as we worship the Lord and also study from His Word and enjoy a time of prayer on Wednesday night. This coming Saturday is Sowing Saturday for the men. 10 o'clock here at the church to meet and go out knocking on doors and sharing the gospel of our Lord and Savior out into our community. Don't forget, next Sunday is Father's Day. To honor fathers on Father's Day, we'll have a fellowship after the evening service. We'll bring some food. We want ladies to bring your favorite kind of sandwich. And bring more than one if you can. So bring a couple of them if you can. But your favorite kind of sandwich and a drink, whatever you like to drink. And maybe some other people like to drink it too. So you be ready for that. I don't know how many people Miss Judy had come to her this morning about helping set up. But if you're interested in helping set up for that, set up tables and that kind of thing back there, it's not a huge job, but we just need a few hands. If you're interested in that, see Miss Judy after the service tonight. And she'll get you going. Now, also forget a little couple weeks in the future, Rusty Anchors on Tuesday the 26th here at the church at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then the ladies meeting on the 30th, the Saturday, up in Tabernacle in Monroe. And we'll have all those details for you as we go forward. All right.
All right. I'm trying to help Brian get his routine, his comedy routine a little smoother. But he's coming along. 403, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Let's stand. 403, everybody take the hymnal. We'll sing all three stanzas. All right, sing out now.
There will never be a sweeter story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? Boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest all the way, saving, keeping love it was that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? Love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me?
Good singing, thanking Jesus.
All right, let's have the ushers come ahead. We'll take care of the offering this evening. All right. The Richardsons and Martha, they're at Gant Street tonight. Their grandson is graduating from homeschool, and they're having a baccalaureate service for homeschoolers there at Gant Street, and so that's why that's where they are tonight. So told them that would be fine. We certainly understand that, and that's a big deal for the homeschoolers when they graduate. And so that's where they are this evening. All right, Father, we love you and thank you again for the opportunity to give a portion of that which you've blessed us with. God, may we always be faithful to give to the work of God, not because of anything we want, but because that's what God desires. Help us to be obedient in all that we do, not just in our giving, but in our life in general towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the gift and the giver and the remainder of the service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, right before Pastor comes tonight, Brother Shelton, come and sing for us.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than meet the applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in secret way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest blue. He is sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hunger brings spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus than to let Him lead, than to be the King of the vast domain, or be held in secret way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Oh, and to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in secret way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything than this world affords today.
All right, turn your Bibles to Romans. Pastor, come ahead.
That's good. That's all right. I usually tell them what page you're going to say, so you can tell them what chapter we're in. That's all right. Romans chapter 15 tonight. The book of Romans chapter 15, got two more chapters before we're finished with the book of Romans, and we appreciate your faithfulness, and we've enjoyed looking through the book of Romans, one of my favorite books of the Bible. And we're going to look tonight in Romans chapter 15 on the labor of the believer. What I mean by that is the work. Now, last time we talked about, or Wednesday night, we talked about the good work in the message. Well, there's much good work that Christians can do. Much good labor and work that Christians ought to do. Sadly, there's a lot of good Christian labor and work that Christians don't do. And one of the reasons for Romans, and especially the latter part, is Paul trying to emphasize being ye kind one to another between the Jews and the Gentiles who made up the church at Rome. And so I want to look at verse 15, or chapter 15, rather. We're going to go down to verse number 8 because we used the first 7 verses last week as we finished out the 14th chapter and into the 15th. But we're going to start in verse number 8. Notice the Bible said, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." And so now Paul is going to combine not only the New Testament mystery and the New Testament truth here, but he's going to, as he did so well, add or confirm it through the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. Much of what was in the Old Testament was not revealed or made known until the New Testament came about. And through the truth of Jesus Christ and the Gospel and the New Testament, those Old Testament mysteries, those Old Testament thoughts and truths were brought out. And so that proves not only that Paul was good at using the Old Testament, but it also proves that God always intended. You know, some people have the thought that, you know, that all of a sudden in Acts, that God decided to include the Gentiles because the Jews had forsaken and crucified the Lord. But you got to understand that that was His plan from the beginning. It was always God's plan for us to be included in the salvation plan. Now, He certainly dealt with the Jew first. Paul said, you know, in Romans, He said to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not that the Greeks were excluded at all. But Jesus came, as you know, in the Gospels to preach to the Jews. Now, there were some Gentiles that He saved because whosoever will may come. But His primary objective was the Jew. Well, they rejected Him. And so in Acts, we find the transition from the Gospel to the Jew to the Gospel to the Gentile and all the world. And so here in this chapter, we're going to look and really, this chapter is kind of self-explanatory. It's one of those chapters you could sit down and read and probably get it the first time. Much of the Bible you have to read over and over again, not because it's too hard to understand, but because there's so much in it. There's so much truth to glean that you know, if you're not careful, you'll skip over it. That's why, unlike a novel or a movie that you like, once you've read it or seen it, that's it. I mean, you might watch it again and again. My most favorite movie of all time is Robin Hood, the old one. With Errol Flynn. And I watch it every time. If it's on and I know it, I'm going to watch it. Now, Judy gets mad at my son. Andrew will just fuss. Because I know all the lines. And so while it's going, I'll quote, Dad. You hear Judy in the kitchen. She's washing dishes. Stop that. Andrew will say, if I didn't want to see it and hear it, I'd let you just say it to me. I mean, I just seen it that many times. I just always have loved them swashbuckling movies. And by the way, there's no cussing and no immorality or nothing else in it. So, you know, I like those old movies. But the point is that once you see it now, again, there have been times when it's been on, but I had something more important to do. So that's fine. I just let it go. But the Bible is different. When you read it through the first time, and I've read it through several times in my life, when you read it through the first time, you don't just fold it up, put it aside, and say, well, maybe another one will come out and I can get more out of that one. No, this is it. This is the living Word of God. And they use this terminology now with the Constitution to try to bend its particular meaning or somehow to be able to revise it with this terminology. It's a living, breathing document. Well, what they're really trying to say is because it's a living and breathing document, it is subject to change as you and I change when we grow. Now, I'm telling you that, but remember, the Constitution is not an inspired writing. Oh, it was certainly inspired by those men, and I believe God had a hand in it for sure. There's no doubt. But the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are not infallible works. But the Bible is infallible, inerrant, and without failure. And so because of that, it is a living, breathing book, but it lives and breathes in its same form. It's the same. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, would you assume then that God is not living and breathing? Well, of course He is. Of course He is. But He doesn't change. He does not change. And so what Paul is giving here in this chapter are three different ministries, I believe, that we're going to look at. And we'll get through as much of it tonight as we possibly can. I'd like to close up the Romans in this month. We start something new in July. But anyway, there are three different ministries that you and I as Christians and these folks needed to understand and recognize. In verses 8 through 13, I'll just give you the thoughts here and then we'll go back to them. Verses 8 through 13, we have Christ's ministry to the Jew and the Gentile. Because remember now, it's a whole different ball game. Now the Jews have to be saved just like the Gentiles do. There's no difference in their plan, even though God dealt with them first because they were His people. But there's no different plan. There's no different way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And when He said that, He was talking to the Jews. He said that in the book of John where He was dealing with the Jews. And so we glean from that that we are also included in that terminology, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, in verses 14 through 23, now we find Paul's ministry to the Jew and the Gentile. What was his calling and what was his direction and how was God leading him to minister to the Jews and the Gentiles? And then finally, the last thought, of course, is the Gentile church or the New Testament church's ministry to the Jews. Now, we all know what anti-Semitism is. And by the way, if you hold that line, you are in sin. If you have something against the Jews, you've got a problem. In fact, the Bible declares plainly, God told Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee. That's enough for me. He said, I'll curse them that curse thee. I'll tell you right now, I'm for the Jews just because God is. Amen? Judy, in cow pens at Mountain View Baptist Church up there, they were having their Jubilee this week. Steve Griffith is the pastor there, and I've known Steve for many years. We thought about trying to go up there, but we didn't get to. But Judy pulled it up on her iPad the other day. We were listening while we were eating lunch. And this preacher got, and I don't know his name. I didn't know him, and it was in the middle of it. Didn't go back to find out. I'd like to. Yes, I do. It was, now I can't call his name. Anyway, it'll come to me later. But anyway, he was talking about collusion with the Russians. And he was just getting with the program, you know. He said, I'll tell you right now. He said, I'm not even sure what collusion is. He said, but if everybody that's against Trump and against God think it's collusion, he said, then collude on. He said, I'm for collusion if the devil hates it. Now, of course, he didn't really, you know, I'm sure he's just making a funny. I hope so anyway. Collusion's not something that you want to be a part of. But the point is that you deal with the Jews, you better love them, and they're just like the rest of us, they're flesh and blood like the rest of us, they have a soul just like God gave to Adam and Eve and all the rest of us. They had a soul, and so because they have one, and we ought to try to win them. When we do get a chance to go to New York, we deal with a lot in the Park Slope area of Brooklyn where we've been. A lot of Jews in that neighborhood, and we've had the opportunity to hand out tracts and witness to a lot of Jews. And Judy and I both have been able to, and Brother Richard. And so you talk to them now. They look at you a little differently because you're not a Jew. Well, that's their problem. You know, they think because you're not a Jew that somehow you're not on their level, but that's not true. And the same goes the other way. Just because they're a Jew doesn't mean that we're not on their level. We're better than them. We're not. Every man has a soul. And every soul needs to be saved. Doesn't matter the nationality or the color or the creed or the social standing. They all need to be saved. Well, here's a bunch of saved Jews and Gentiles in a New Testament church that are having a little friction with one another. And so Paul is writing this letter to sort of smooth that out, to let them know how it is to act. Remember that this church, this letter to Rome, was the first one they got. And when they got it, it was a letter. They did not know, and I'm not sure exactly when they came to the realization that Romans was canon of Scripture. But when Paul wrote it, it was a letter, just like you might get, you know, an email, if you will, nowadays. But the point is that Paul sent it, being moved by the Holy Spirit to write it, to help these people to get this thing worked out, because they're working together. It's supposed, we're in this thing together. Amen? It's not this side versus this side, and both sides against the middle. It's not our church against the another Baptist church down the road. Now, if that church down the road is not preaching the gospel, then yeah, we're against that. I didn't say it'd be mean to them. I'm not saying be mean to them and, you know, burn their church or anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about trying to preach the real gospel even to their folks who are not getting it. That's right. And so, but we're, as Christian, as independent, fundamental Baptist churches, and there are saved folks in the Methodist and saved folks in the Presbyterian. Now, once you get past that, it gets a little dicey, but I'm sure there are. Now, my thing is, if you get really born again, there's some of those religions, I don't see how you can stay in them just because of their doctrinal stand and their lack of Bible. But anyway, that's for another day. Well, here's what's going on here. Let's go back to verse 8 now. Here we have Christ's ministry to the Gentiles and the Jews. Notice he said again, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. That's the Jews. Remember that Abraham was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. But when God chose him and pulled him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, then he used circumcision as a means of identification. Now, again, as we know in the modern day, most male children are circumcised at the hospital, but that doesn't make us a Jew. That doesn't change what we are, because the circumcision itself, the act of circumcision, was a mark of identification, but God, in His infinite wisdom, had already declared that new people, beginning with Abraham. But now the Bible said that he was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Those Jews needed to hear the truth. Why did Jesus come? To die on the cross. But while he was here, he was bringing truth to those Jews. He'd gather them together. Those crowds would follow him, and he would call them often and try to give them the truth. Look at verse number, it said to confirm the promises, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Jesus in the New Testament doctrine is not giving us new stuff. He's simply confirming the stuff that God had already given. And Paul was adept at using the Old Testament to bring these truths out. We'll look at them here in just a moment. Look at verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Wait a minute. Boy, that got the hackles up all the Jews. Wait, you mean to tell me that our God that we claim will actually show mercy to those rotten Gentiles? He sure will. Just like that same God that those Jews loved showed mercy to those Samaritans. You remember that, don't you? Yeah, that's right. What about that woman at the well? Boy, the disciples declared, I mean, they almost, I believe, would have physically kept Jesus from going to Samaria. But he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And the reason was because that woman that was looked down upon because she was a mixed breed. But God, Jesus knew that she and others. Now, by the way, he had his mind on her, but his heart was on that whole place. Because what happens when he saves sinners? They become a witness to win others. Or at least that's what we're supposed to do. And so he knew if he could just get that woman to him, that buddy, she'd be a good candidate to be a missionary in Samaria. And buddy, I'm telling you, when she got born again, it didn't take her no time at all. She ran down the street crying out, come and see a man who showed me all things whatsoever I did. I'm telling you, getting saved will make you, it'll make you different. It'll make you a witness. And of course, he showed us mercy. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? And you know what we ought to do? We come to church. Now, listen again, I've said this many times. Shouting is not a determination of your spiritual growth. But I'm telling you, I don't think, you know, somebody said, well, man, if the Spirit really stirs me, then I'm gonna shout. Well, let me ask you a question. If your wife or your mother fixed a really good meal, are you gonna wait until it does something on your insides to get you to say, Mom, that was really good? Judy went home, made this homemade pizza today. Man, it was great. And I started glorifying her before we ate it. I said, that smells good. I mean, I already had my mind. I've never had it before. It's the first time we've had it. I didn't know what it was going to taste like. But I'll tell you what, she went to the trouble of making it. And it smelled good. Usually if it smells good, if you can get it past your nose, you can get it past your tongue. Amen? That's right. And so when you come to the house, when you're sitting at home and you hear a song or you hear a message and somebody mentions the mercy of God, it ought not to be that the Holy Ghost has to fill the house with a Shekinah glory to get you to be grateful. When you hear it, you ought to say, Hallelujah! Thank God for the mercy of God. Hey, and by the way, that's exactly what David said in the 23rd Psalm that would always be around him. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so I'm glad for the mercy of God, aren't you? Jesus ministered to them both. Verse 8 clearly states that he was a minister first to the Jews, confirming the Old Testament promises. Now what happened? The Jews rejected Christ. The Bible said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so that's when Jesus began to sort of reveal what was already in the Old Testament about this new sheepfold, this new herd of sheep called Gentiles. And then in verse 9, he said that they might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." Now, if you have a Scofield Bible, you'll notice that these verses are referenced down through here. And I want to look at them, okay? And so, look, if you will, in Psalm 18. Look at Psalm 18. Here's what Paul is quoting or referring to when he's talking about the Gentiles having the mercy of God and the Word of God. Psalm 18 and verse number 49. Psalm 18 and look at verse number 49. The Bible says, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord," and notice, "among the heathen." Now the word heathen in the Bible is always a reference to the Gentiles. Anybody who's not a Jew was considered a heathen. And our impression of the word heathen is someone who's mean and nasty and hateful and just and dirty and foul. But no, the word heathen simply means anybody who's not us. They're heathens because they, of course, they worshiped other gods and they did things that were surely ungodly. And so we're all included in that. Before we got saved, we were heathens. Sure we were. Not because we weren't Jews, but because we were sinners. And the Bible said in Psalms that God had already had those heathen in mind. David said, "I'm going to glorify God and thank the Lord among the heathen and sing praises unto thy name." He wanted them heathen to know who his God was. That's what you and I ought to be doing today. Not fussing with each other in here. We ought to be letting this crowd out here know that there's a God that loves them. But then notice too, not only did they hear the word, turn to Isaiah 42. Turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Let me give you another verse here. That the Bible declares in the Old Testament that the Gentiles would hear the word of God. Isaiah chapter 42. And look with me at verse number 6 and 7. It's page 750. If you have a Scofield Bible, Isaiah 42 verse 6 and 7. The Bible said, "I, the Lord," and that capital L-O-R-D is Jehovah. When you see all letters capitalized, that's God Himself. That's Jehovah. He said, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will..." Now, doesn't all this sound pretty good? That God not only would call you, but that He'll keep you and He'll hold your hand and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. To open the blind eyes. Hallelujah. Isn't it good? Man, whereas once I was blind,
now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, verse 7 says to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison. Hallelujah. Man, once like a bird in prison I dwelt. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. Then Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. Well, I'm glad I'm not a prisoner anymore. If I ever am, it's because I've locked my own self up in my own cuffs. Amen. But Jesus signed my pardon. He said to bring the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So you see, God always had a plan for the Gentiles to hear the Word of God. And then the Gentiles were to rejoice with it. This is the pattern of progress. First, they hear God's Word. They're brought out of prison. They're brought out of blindness. They're brought out of that dark place. And then notice, second of all here, that they're to rejoice with the Jews. Notice verse 10 in the text, and then we'll go to Deuteronomy 32. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. So now the progression is this. You get saved, you hear the Word of God, you accept it, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're black or white, whether you're European or Asian or African or Canadian or American or whatever, when you hear the Word of God and have the opportunity to give your heart to Christ, the next thing that happens in the pattern is rejoicing, isn't it? Yeah, sure it is. He said, and we'll rejoice, ye Gentiles with His people. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32 now. Go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 32, the last book of the five books of the Pentateuch, Deuteronomy chapter number 32, and look with me at verse number 43. Deuteronomy 32, 43, page 253 if you have a Scofield Bible. Look what verse 43 says of Deuteronomy 32. It says, rejoice. But then notice the next phrase, O ye nations, plural. Now he's not talking to Israel here. He's talking to all nations. Rejoice, ye nations, with His people. With His people. Not against His people. Not contrary to His people. But rejoice with His people, it says. For He will avenge the blood of His servants and will render vengeance to His adversaries and will be merciful unto His land and to His people. So the progression is begun. First, they hear the Word of God. They accept the Word of God. And we're talking about the Gentiles. Now the Jews are saying, well, we did that. What Paul is saying, but so did the Gentiles. Don't get mad at them for doing what Jesus said to do. Don't excommunicate them. Don't ostracize them for obeying the Lord. To those saved Jews, he said, you did it too. You accepted Christ. You gave your heart to Him. So why can't they? And so notice now, so we go from rejoicing now, read on, verse number 11, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him. Man, that's heaping praise. When you laud someone, you just can't hardly say enough about them. Amen? We're talking about our July 4th service. We're going to have some military people in here who have won Purple Hearts and things like that. Listen, Gold Star parents, I'm telling you, there's not enough to say good about them folks. And when they come, we want to laud them. We want to applaud them. We want to make sure that they understand that we don't have the words to say thank you for getting in harm's way so we don't have to. Amen. But now notice, the Gentiles are to praise God. Notice in verse 12. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse. We know who that is. That's Jesus Christ. And he that shall rise to reign over who? The Gentiles. Yes, sir. He is the King of Kings, not the King of Israel. Now, he is the King of Israel. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord. He is the God of this world. And I say capital G. Not little g, that's given to Satan. He is the God of everything. And the Bible says that He will be reigning over the Gentiles, and in Him shall the Gentiles trust. That's why when I read Proverbs, I can say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Proverbs is an Old Testament book, but it's good for me. Because this verse says, I can trust in Him. So when it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths, that's not just for the Jew, that's for anybody, including you and I, who are, in fact, Gentiles. And so it goes from hearing the Word to rejoicing. Then turn to Psalm 117 with me. Turn to Psalm 117. Psalm 117, it goes from hearing the Word to rejoicing because of the Word to now praising God. And the Bible said earlier that we're to praise God with His people. But now notice Psalm 117, suddenly we're given permission to do it with or without Him. That when we get what we need, we can just praise Him anyway. Psalm 117, verse number 11. Look what the Bible says here. They compassed me about. Yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord... That's not the verse. Great day, where am I at? Verse 1, I'm sorry. Verse 1, there we go, I'm sorry. I don't know why I wrote verse 1 one time, scratched it out, wrote 11. That's not it. Oh, there we go. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. Now, this time it doesn't say with His people. It just says, praise Him, all ye people. And so now I don't have to have some permission from someone who's in that sort of family. Talk about the Jews as a Gentile. When I got saved, God gave me. Listen, there are things I can do. I don't have. Not only do I don't have to have a Jew or a Jewish believer to help me. I don't have to have a preacher help me. I don't have to have a deacon help me. The Bible said that I myself can come boldly to the throne of grace, and so can you. Once you hear the Word and receive it, you begin to rejoice, and then you recognize that you have the great privilege to praise the Lord anytime you want to. You ever been riding down the road to hear a song on the radio or on your CD? And boy, all of a sudden you're seeing double traffic in front of you because your eyes are starting to get wet? Huh? Oh man, I'm telling you, it happened many times to me. Here's some good preacher, boy, he's a plow in the field, and he'll say something good about the grace and mercy of God. You just can't hardly help but almost have to pull the car over because you don't want to get in a wreck. Well, I don't have to call Brother Steve and say, Brother Steve, I just heard about the mercy of God. Is it all right if I praise the Lord? And he doesn't have to call me and say, preacher, I heard something about salvation. Is it all right if I say glory to God? We don't need anybody's permission. We just tell Him how much we appreciate it. Because, by the way, He's the receiver of that. He's the one who should get it. Now, go back to the text. And then we go to the last one. We hear the Word. We rejoice with His people. But then we have the opportunity to rejoice or praise God on our own. And then we trust Christ and enjoy His reign. Now, remember, when the rapture comes, it's not just Jews that will be raptured. Won't just be Gentiles raptured. It'll be believers who have been saved. Jew or Gentile will be raptured. And the Bible says that when He comes back for the millennial reign, that you and I will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Not only will we have the privilege to serve Him in that capacity, but He'll be ruling over the whole earth. He'll be on the throne of David. He'll be in Israel. That'll be the center of the universe as it always should have been. By the way, wherever Jesus is the center of the universe, isn't it? Sure it is. And so He'll be reigning from Israel in Jerusalem there. And the Bible said that every year that all the world, they won't be going to Mecca. They won't be going to Nashville. Amen. They'll be going to Jerusalem. Why? To pray, to worship the King. Yes, sir. To worship the King. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now go down to look at verse number 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. Yeah, that's right. Gentiles can even have joy. Sure you can. And you know what joy is? That's Jesus, others, and you. That's how you have joy. You always put Jesus first. If He's anywhere in there, any other place, you've got a wrong word. You've got a mispronounced word. You've got a thought that cannot be expressed. But if you put Jesus first, others second, and yourselves last, you'll always have joy. Amen? That's right. Now look at verse number, it says, joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now go to verse 14. And let's see, well, we're going to go through this. I may have to quit. In fact, I tell you what I'm going to do. It's 6:30. I'm going to stop right here. Did somebody say, wow? Oh, I didn't even know it was you, Brother Baker. You're a visitor, so it's okay. I know I probably shocked half the membership, though. Wow, 6:30 and he's getting done? Well, there's much I want to get into here that if I start, I'll have to stop. So, and I don't want to get them. You know how it is, Brother Steve, and how it is when you get into something, you stop and you have to go. It's hard to do. So I'm going to stop right here with the fact that Christ has and is ministering to everyone, Jews and Gentiles. That's why you and I have the great privilege to know Christ. And we also have the great privilege to broadcast Christ to others, whether they be. Now, I'll be honest with you. The first time I witnessed to a Jew, it scared me to death. Because at the time I was a young man, I didn't know a whole lot about it. Probably still don't know all I need to know. But, you know, and they know so much of the Old Testament that they can really tie in knots. But once you start learning the Word of God and understanding exactly that the gospel is for whosoever will, and it doesn't cut through. Because we were in Brooklyn, not the last time, but the first time, when we were out handing out tracts on 7th Avenue, right in front of the Barclays Center, the big arena there, where they just had the some tournament or something up there. But anyway, in that area are a lot of Orthodox Jews. You ever seen those fellas in the black hats with the little curls down the side? Now, you talk about solid in Judaism, they are. Boy, I was out handing out tracts, and here come two of them. And I'll be, just like you said, but you know what the first thing I said was, I don't think I want to deal with them today. Yeah, make an excuse. And they got closer, and I kept saying, and I was looking past them, well, here comes a lady with a dog, I'll talk to her. And they got closer, and it's just like the Lord said, don't you dare let them go by you. And so I didn't, and I stopped them. I said, gentlemen, and they said, shalom. I know that means hello and good. You know, that means hello and goodbye in Yiddish. So I'm not sure if they were saying hello or goodbye to me. But anyway, they stopped. I said, I'd like to give you gentlemen something to read. I said, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? And the one man in that very deep Yiddish accent said, if he don't have time to talk to you, young man. First, he called me young man. I appreciate that. He said, if he don't have time to talk to you about that right now, young man, we're going to whatever. And he called, said some Yiddish word. But they took the track. They did take the track, both of them, and walked on. And I still got to talk to the lady with the dog. And she was a lot more receptive than they were. But the point is that who knows what might happen from that. You know, they might have, even if they threw it away, somebody might have picked it up. Who knows? Who knows? But the point is that that's an opportunity that we all have that we ought to take command of. And don't, when you see somebody who's different than you, and I think that's really the application here. When you see someone who's different from you, always remember what you're looking at may be different, but what they are is exactly the same as you. And man became a living soul. That's why color or nationality or religion or should never make a difference. Now, it may make a difference in the presentation if you have that opportunity, but that individual needs the truth. Now, whether they accept it, then that's their decision to make. And once you've done that, you are not responsible. Your blood is not required, or their blood is not required at your hands. The Bible talks about the watchman. If the watchman's on the tower and the enemy's coming and he doesn't say anything about it, then everybody that dies in that city, he'll be required to answer for. But if he blows the trumpet and sounds the alarm and people just, you know, these people, when they have hurricanes and stuff, and boy, they'll go through and say, get out the storm. And they'll say, oh, we're going to ride it out. And then something happens to them. And boy, those policemen, you know, they're heart broke. But you know what? It's not their fault. They said, get out. And they wouldn't get out. They, well, we've been through them before. Then they didn't get through this one. Well, that policeman's not going to have, shouldn't have to answer for that. That person made the decision. And so listen, folks, we have a great opportunity to give the gospel out to folks. And even if they're not like you, they don't talk like you, they don't look like you, they don't eat the same food, or they don't go to the same place. You just give them the truth and let them decide. But when they get it, and some of them will, and then they come, and of course, when we win people, Lord, we want them to come to Anchor. I mean, I'm not going to lie about it, but we want them to go to church, but in a good church, but want them to come. When they come in here, treat them like they're somebody. Because they are. According to God, God Himself said, I, the Lord, have called thee. But that's a pretty high calling right there. And so we ought to treat each other with the same, treat them like you'd want to be treated, because the same Lord that called them called you. Aren't you glad He did? Yeah, amen. I'm glad He did. Father, thank You for the message and for the opportunity to give it.